Welcome to the Soul Talks podcast, where we equip pastors, leaders, and other men and women in ministry to thrive with Jesus in their life and leadership. Now let's join Bill and Christy Galtier, doctors in psychology, spiritual directors, and founders of Soul Shepherding.
Hello, friends. So good to have a conversation with you. I wish you could see Christy in the last few minutes as she has been loving on our cat, Andy, and holding him. He's a beautiful white cat, all white fur and fluffy, but he's pretty ornery and not very cuddly.
Unlike, he's very ornery.
And sadly, our previous cat that died of old age, Charlie, was so cuddly, and Christy misses him so much. And so your winsome, caring pursuit of Andy is just relentless. No matter how many times he rejects you or bites you or misbehaves and makes your life difficult or makes smelly poops that fill the whole house, you just keep pursuing him and loving him. It's a marvel to behold, your love for him. And it reminds me, here's the segue into our topic for this podcast on is Jesus' incarnation as big a suffering as the cross? And a topic that we've talked a lot about, Christy, and had feelings and thoughts about. And you're like that with Andy. You're like Jesus just entering into our skin and our world to love us, even though we keep rejecting him.
Well, thank you. It does take a lot of grace. He takes a ton of grace, and he exacerbates me, and he disappoints me every day. He bites me every day. He offends me every day. He rejects me every day. He makes my life harder every day, and yet I do love him, and I do want to have a relationship where he could trust me, mm-hmm. and I do want to enjoy him, and I am trying to lean into the trial of loving the one who curses me, or and there are some moments when he responds, and I enjoy that. That's fulfilling. But I appreciate your affirmation, and it does help me to realize when I think about how gracious God is with me.
Yeah, one of my favorite scriptures in Romans is, "While we're yet still sinners, Christ died for us," and just that incredible message of the gospel that though we were undeserving of forgiveness and love and grace and beauty and goodness and the glory of God and eternal life, and though we've rejected God in pride and wanting to run our own lives, God and Jesus loves us first and comes to us before we do anything good, before we pray, before we even want God. God is loving us and wooing us and reaching out to us continually in innumerable ways and a tremendous variety of ways, in sunsets and cats and people and, of course, the Bible and so many ways that God speaks messages of grace to us.
Yeah. One of the things with Andy that I often feel sad about is that it's very clear he doesn't know what he's missing. He has no idea the love and the pleasure and the peace and the joy, the purring, the relaxation, the good life he could have if he would trust me. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know how to trust me. And no matter how hard I try to teach him, he doesn't know how to trust me. And I can see the battle within him. He'll come close to me like he's wanting something, but he can't receive it. And that's, I think, often probably how it is for us with God, that we miss the best of what he has to give because we can't surrender. Andy can't surrender to receive my love the way that Charlie could.
And right now he is a little bit, you're giving him sort of the treatment that is therapists offer to a child who has reactive attachment disorder and has experienced tremendous abandonment or abuse and is not able to bond and trust its parent. And then that goes on into the preschool years and the school years even, and that will do some like forced holding. So that's what Christy's been doing with Andy and often does is and which is one of the reasons that he bites you, and you're prone to get bit right now. he's going back and forth because clutching onto him and has been holding him, and he is at times he's settled into it and received the comfort of your strokes, and but then he's got this will, and now he's jumping down. So yeah, so this is a little parable here that I'm observing, and thanks for sharing that with us, Christy.
Yeah, well, one of the things that somebody said to us at one of our Institute retreats this year, when we were talking about Jesus's humanity and his incarnation and just the incredibleness of that, they kind of asked the rhetorical question of, it's occurring to me more that could Jesus's incarnation have been as big a suffering as his cross? And I think that that's something we underestimate. We do, rightly so, focus on the sacrifice and the suffering of the cross. But I do think we overlook and miss a lot of the suffering that really came, that God chose in becoming human.
Yeah, so that's a significant message, and we're teaching that in our Soul Shepherding Institute retreats, that the incarnation, among other things, is God's perfect empathy for us. It's God entering into our skin, our humanity, our life, our suffering, our trials, our injustices, our spiritual warfare, and our sin even, and temptations to sin and all that. And of course, Jesus never sins, always has perfect trust in God as Father, perfect submission, and is in perfect alignment with God's will, and proves to us that he's the Son of God. But he experiences everything that it means to be human, and all of the suffering. And he does that, of course, because of the cross, the message of the cross, to redeem us, to save us from sin, and to bring us the life of God for all eternity. But indispensable in that process is the incredible empathy and compassion of God for us.
Yeah, and contemplating that has been really helpful to me, even in our book, Healthy Feelings, Thriving Faith, in the way that we look at Jesus as the perfection of each of our types, and that incredibleness of all that Jesus is and God is, and the worship of him that incites for me, and the enthrallment that incites for me, and the reverence that incites for me. And then paired also with, we look at his empathy for each of us and our types, and how he, in each of those, he bridges the gap, right? Because when we are in our fullness in Christ, that he shares his glory with us, that we can grow to reflect him, is an amazing thing. But it's also an amazing thing, maybe even a more amazing thing, that he stoops down into our pain, that he purposely enters our experience.
You stoop down to make me great, David says in Psalm 18. Astonishing, unbelievable, but it's in the Word of God, and that is the incarnation. And yeah, it is very surprising, and it's been fun for us to discover this and teach this, that in each of the 9 Enneagram types, each personality type, the Lord Jesus enters into that type with great empathy and love and perfect knowledge and the glory of God, and brings that to us to repair what's broken in us, and to point the way and enable the way for us to grow in loving kindness and the glory of God, so that we can be the glory of God as a human being fully alive, the Church Father Irenaeus said so many centuries ago, and we can become fully alive, fully animated with God's life, even within our broken, sinful personality types. And so, yeah, this is some ways of talking about Jesus' incarnation, and what we're reflecting on in a special way during the season of Lent, as we anticipate Good Friday and Easter.
Yeah, and it's been really helpful and really important for us to contemplate the humanity of Christ, to think about him and his taking on our human experience, him embracing that, him living in that, him, you know, Hebrews 4:15, such an important verse for me, that we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with us, but one who is able to, who has experienced the temptations and the sufferings and the experiences that I have. And that helps me to not feel alone when I am in the midst of a temptation or I am in the midst of a suffering, that God is with me in that. He chooses to be with me in that. He pursued that intentionally out of love for us. And that's a really big thing.
Well, you were sharing with me just this morning over breakfast as we were having our devotional time together, which was really nice. Thank you for that. And you were sharing with me about how you've been learning more and more over many years now, but how Jesus has met you in your abandonment wound and all the things related to that with insecurity and fear and shame and different struggles, that how you've, Jesus has entered into that with you. And that's an expression of the incarnation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It helps me in whatever area of pain or suffering or experience I'm in. It helps me to look for where has Jesus had an experience like this, or where is Jesus with me in this? Where can I see and feel confident that Jesus has empathy for me in this?
Yeah, so beautiful. So winsome. Just makes me love Jesus more, and really proud of you, Christy, the ways that you've opened your heart to the Lord in this. And then we were talking this morning also about how it comes full circle, as then you get to represent Jesus to others and be a wounded healer and come out of that place of the abandonment wound, even as there's still more healing you seek in that area, but from the place of the healing and the strength and the wisdom that God has brought you to listen to other people, to companion other people, to teach other people, like in our Soul Shepherding Institute retreats. And then you get to see Christ manifest, the living, healing, radiating Christ manifest through you into other people's lives and bringing them comfort and grace in their areas of woundedness. And that's extremely fulfilling for you.
It is. And yeah, definitely my experience of being able to fully embrace God with me in my sufferings and my wounds helps me with that. But it also helps me to have the confidence, because of that experience, that God is with them in their suffering, mm-hmm. their wounds. In fact, that when I'm journeying with them in that, that I'm not alone, mm-hmm. that I'm with Jesus and them in that.
Yeah, and years ago, in the earlier years of your own process of receiving the redemption of Jesus into your area of the abandonment wound, having someone who listens, a counselor, a spiritual director, a friend, someone who's Christ's ambassador to you, who has that confidence of through their own life and their woundedness, and how while they were yet still sinner, Christ died for them and met them in that, and while they were broken, Christ the healer came to them and brought them healing, engaged them in this journey, and then now they're reaching back as a wounded healer to you, and you don't necessarily know all that as that person is listening to you or guiding you, but you can feel the substance in that person, and you can feel their hope for you and for your future and their confidence in God. And so then you were taking heart from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need that. We need to be encouraged by other people who have been with God, who have experienced God, who have received his presence, his empathy, have experienced him as being enough for them in their deepest suffering and their pain, because that inspires faith in us.
Yeah, and so Christy, the thing that is so fun for us is, you who are listening, this is your story, and we can help you realize this more, and that's what we do in our Soul Shepherding Institute program, particularly the Certificate in Spiritual Direction, is that we teach you how to receive more of that healing and that redemption of God in your story, and then how to become that wounded healer for others in the ways that you would listen to them with compassion and guide other people with a gentle wisdom in ways that bring about that transformation in other lives. So it's spawning. It's like the good virus that C.S. Lewis talks about in Mere Christianity, but that virus of devotion to Jesus and love for Jesus and loving other people in Jesus' name, which is what the Christian life is all about. And this spreads from one through Jesus and the fragrance of the life of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus, through that sweet fragrance, it spreads through our lives into the lives of others.
I think the other thing that's so helpful for me with this is to be able to make space like we make on these retreats, to be able to have some extended time to really be attentive to God in these ways and to really contemplate it. One of our scriptures for the week is Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And we're really looking at in that as well, Jesus's kenosis, his putting off of his union with God, his full glory to step in to humanity, to humble himself, to there's a dying to self in his becoming human, and that there's a time to really think about that and to make space for that and to engage our thoughts, our imaginations, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be in a community of others who are doing that together. And there's something catalytic about that that deepens our attunement to God and what he's doing, what he's saying. We get some ahas. We get more personal working out of these theologies into our life, in our relationship with God.
Yeah, and Paul's teaching us in Philippians that Jesus is setting aside the privileges of being a part of the Godhead and divinity and perfection and heaven and the glory of God, like you're saying. He sets that aside, and he leaves the union with God in heaven, in eternity, and in glory, and puts it at risk through this experiment of becoming human. And is exposed to all of the grime and slime of human life. And the big question is, will he be faithful to God as a human being who was tempted to sin? And we believe it was not like automatic, like Jesus actually could have sinned. He really was tempted. And so he never does. And so the union with God is never broken. But it's at risk, and it has to come. It comes in a different form for Jesus that is a substantial loss, more than we realize, moving from being only fully God to being fully human, and then proving that he still is fully God. But Jesus is still human. He still is experiencing certain limitations and effects of being a human being for all eternity that is a suffering of sorts. That's embedded in the incarnation, and it's an expression of his love for us, and it's where the incarnation of Christ and the cross of Christ really, really come together, and that the incarnation, more than we realize, is like an early expression of the cross of Christ. And he does it out of love for us, and so that we can have union with God. And then we get to participate in that as we experience increasing union with God through our own healing and receiving of the incarnation and the cross, the ministry of God through Jesus in our lives. And then we get to reach out our hand to those behind us who need to, yes, come into faith in Jesus and trust in God. And then, but also those of us who already have that, but we're needing the healing and the redemption to work deeper into our life and for our lives to be repurposed so that we can go out there as messengers, as leaders to care for others in the same ways that we were cared for, ultimately by Jesus, but also through Jesus' people. It's a beautiful cycle that we get to participate in. And friends, we want more of that for you. And so we would just love it if you could join us in our Soul Shepherding Institute, come to a retreat with us. Best of all, if you could earn a certificate in spiritual direction, apply that to your your life where you need learning and healing, your relationships and your family, and of course your ministry as a pastor, as a missionary, as a ministry spouse, as a coach, as however you are serving and leading in Jesus' name. Such a blessing, Christy, as we get to be in community with great people, wonderful people, the best people on earth like you who are listening.
And also, friends, if you'd like an experience with a resource that would help you connect with Jesus and his humanity and his suffering, his entering our suffering, Unforsaken with Jesus on the Stations of the Cross is a resource that has been tremendously helpful to me in that. And I commend it to you, and it might especially be meaningful to you this Lenten season.
Let's go to soulshepherding.org, and we've got a store there. Any resource that you buy, it's the same thing as a donation. It just goes to support Soul Shepherding's ministry to pastors, leaders, people like you.
So Jesus, we are so grateful to you for your great love, your great passion, such that you would come to be with us, to pursue us, that you would enter the battle personally, that you would experientially align yourself with us, and that you would humble yourself, setting aside your full and complete power in order to experience the powerlessness that we so often feel and empathize with us in that, but to show us the power, the good news that we have in the kingdom of God that you came to illuminate to us, to show us it's with us here and now, and that we can live this life through trust and a life of responsive relationship, interactive relationship of trust and obedience with you and surrender to you as you surrender to your Father. So we ask, Lord, that you would help us to respond all the more to this great opportunity and invitation to bring our whole life into you and into submission to you and union with you. And we thank you that you are in the process of a great redeeming work that you have started, that you've done, but that you also are still doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm excited to invite you to join Bill and me and our new community of students who will be joining our class in spiritual direction. This is a 2-year journey where you can earn a certificate in spiritual direction. It's been life-changing for hundreds of our students who have completed it. And it includes 4 Soul Shepherding Institute retreats, as well as online monthly classes with Soul Shepherding friends and so much more. We start a new class each year in March. And you can sign up by visiting soulshepherding.org. Or searching Soul Shepherding, become a spiritual director, and follow the link also in our show notes. But we'd love to have you apply and jump in and start this new class this year. We accept students to join in our class all the way up through July 1st. If you didn't make that March deadline, we have a grace period for the next 2 months as well. We look forward to continuing to journey with you and following Jesus.
Thank you for joining us on the Soul Talks podcast. To find out more about growing in your life and leadership, subscribe to the podcast and visit us at soulshepherding.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram